Welcome to this Rock the Flock podcast. Listen to the full two-hour show each Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. on 89.7 WJHO.
Welcome to Rock the Flock for Sunday, October 5th, 2025. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. What is Rock the Flock? Rock the Flock is home to Christian independent artists, where not only they have a home for their music, but we get to hear their awesome testimonies, and then we get to dive into the Word of God. This week, like I say all the time, I don't line up guests for this show. I just sit in the seat and let God go. And man, I rhymed something I didn't even mean to right then. But this week, God has sent a very special guest, a very special man of God that I've been waiting for a long time for this interview, Mr. Sam Wood. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm wonderful, Greg. It's great to see your face. I know we've talked a couple times, but it's great to put a face with a name today. And just thank you so much for allowing me this time to spend with you.
When we come back, we're going to not make it hurt, but we're going to dig around a little bit. We're going to find out what's all inside of Sam Wood. And we'll just do it a little piece at a time. And I know our guests are going to be, man, the listeners are just going to be blown away today. So we'll be right back with Sam Wood right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the show. This week, I'm blessed, I'm honored to have Mr. Sam Wood on the show. Now, Sam, you are from Detroit, Michigan, correct?
Yes, sir.
See, I still have some of my memory left. I'm not that old yet. But Sam, thank you for being a part of this thing, man. Told you, man, it's blown me away, and I'm even more blown away, you know, just in the presence of the Lord that he's brought a man that I respect, a man I get I love the daily devotion you send out every day. I love watching all of your social media posts. I know we'll talk in that later, because I know you're super busy, and I know how in the world you pull that all that stuff off, but we'll get into that later. But now's the segment for the listeners. Like I said, you're at the door of the Rock the Flock house, and you've knocked on the door, and we have all these artists in here, and they want to know who's at the door, man. Who's Sam Wood?
Well, Sam Wood. Well, first, since I'm at the door, will you just let my boy Taylor Holland know that I'm here back there? He'll vouch for me. And let Chris Scott know that I'm here. He'll vouch for me, too.
So awesome. Well, I'm going to tell you something.
I got a couple friends in the house.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Taylor Holland's about to get kicked out of the house because he was supposed to be on this show, too. We were gonna debut his song "Pray" on this show, and I was gonna give him a special little segment. But man, he's got things like a wife and kids, and you know all that kind of stuff. It kept him off the show, and I thought, man, it would have been perfect because that's how we kind of connected through Taylor.
Absolutely.
But like I told Taylor, he was all worried about it, and I said, Taylor, you'll be on the show when the Lord wants you on the show.
Amen. So Sam Wood is here at the door, and man, I'm a disciple. First and foremost, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that is who I am. That is my identity. It is through Jesus. So after that, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I am a janitor and a secretary at my church. That's my job. And so even in that, I'm working in ministry. And then I am also a full-time graduate student at Moody Bible Institute. And I have a calling on my life for pastoral ministry. However, I'm getting my first degree, my first master's degree in counseling psychology, because I believe that pastors preach once, twice, maybe even three times a week, but they should be counseling every day.
Amen.
And so I'm a disciple, husband, father, student, and I also make some music a little bit.
How do you have time? Because we have 24 hours in a day, and what you just explained goes past 24 hours.
It is purely by the grace of God. And Greg, you know this. You are another man who wears many, many hats, and many hats for the Lord, because all of them intersect in ministry. And so I know you know what the juggling act looks like, but it is by the grace of God. The energy, the stamina, the creativity, the ideas, it all comes from Him. And that's not to say that it's not hard work. That's not to say that it doesn't take very specific and disciplined, focused energy. But even that comes from the Lord. And there's just this wellspring of enthusiasm when it comes from Jesus. Like, there is no quit to the Holy Spirit. Like, all things are possible through Him.
Amen.
So.
Well, how long do you have left in school?
I'm in my second semester. So I graduated undergrad from Moody in December. I started the master's program in January. I'm in my second semester. I have two more semesters of coursework, and then a year of practicum. After that, it will be, do I go on to the MDiv or do I go on to a doctorate in psychology? And so both are on the table. I plan to do both, but it's just a matter of which one comes first. So I will be able to counsel as a Christian psychologist after I get the master's. And then do I go on to seminary or to get the doctorate? We'll see from there. So I'll be in school for over a decade when it's all said and done. But the Lord has provided in amazing ways. And so I found out recently that I was given a full ride for this first degree through a foundation called the Urban Scholar Scholarship for people who do ministry in the inner city of Detroit. And so I live in the city, and I do ministry down here. And so it's a wonderful program, and that has been a huge blessing for me and my family, and just another roadside from the Lord that says you are going in the right direction.
And I know something you have going in the right direction. I know you have a wife that supports you. I can already tell, because it was just like, we're recording this, you know, we pre-record these interviews because there's no telling when we can get, you know, our artist and on the show. And when I left the house, you know, my wife, I'm so thankful that I just had to say where I was going, what I was doing, and, you know, just be careful. I love you. And, you know, that's peaceful to have. And I know in your life with what you're doing, your work, your studies, your kids, and what the involvement, because I know you're a godly father, but then you have to have a godly woman by your side to kind of keep all of it together.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And we are very much a team. Like, it's funny. I tell her all the time, I'm just like, you know, God made you specifically for me, and you know that He made me for you. And, you know, she'll laugh it off, but she knows. I mean, you think what I'm doing is busy. She's a far higher achiever than me. She's an attorney by trade, but she is the chief privacy officer of the state of Michigan. She is the highest data privacy professional in our state. And, before that, she was chief magistrate of the 36th District Court here. I mean, she is just an extremely high achieving, an amazing individual. And so somehow we just go together like peas and carrots, man. Like I don't know how or why, but the Lord has absolutely made us to be a team, one flesh for him and his glory. And so she also does, you know, because I work at the church and I don't get paid to be an associate pastor, but in essence, that's what I do under my father, who's been a pastor there at the church for 40 years now. And so she's learning to be a pastor's wife as well. And man, she is just one of the most amazing, humble, intelligent, hardworking women I have ever met.
That's cool, because there is nothing, like I've said on the show over and over and over, there is nothing more powerful on the face of this earth. And that's earth. Heaven's different, you know, on the face of this earth, than a godly husband and wife that raise godly children. There's nothing more powerful than that.
And I would argue that you are 100% correct in that, and that 75% of the struggles that we see in our personal lives and in our communities come from the breakdown of those family systems. Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right. They are the most powerful thing on this earth, and God created us to be in relationship with those families. And it's not, you know, part of the problem is that it was broken down to this idea of the nuclear family, you know, of a husband, a wife, and 2.5 kids and a dog. Well, that's well and good, but there's a much broader family implication there that has been kind of, in Eastern culture, it's celebrated far more. But in Western culture, we've separated ourselves a lot from that extended family, from the grandparents, from the cousins, from the aunts, the uncles, the villages that it takes. And like I said, we're built to be in relationship with the Lord and with our neighbors. And the family is like the front line of our neighbors.
I know I do play-by-play for our local high school football team. And And the coolest thing about that, like you said, God just opens all kinds of doors. Yeah, I get to do that, which is cool, every Friday night. You know, hang out in the best seat in the house and talk about the boys. But I was able to go speak to the boys last week. And thankful the coach lets me go in and talk to them. But afterwards, I was talking to the coach, and he told me there were 32 or 33 kids out there. And he was counting that only four of them, and he said one of them's mine, that go home to a house with a dad in it.
That is a truly heartbreaking statistic, anecdote, whatever you want to call it. That hurts.
I was listening to an interview this morning with Tony Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, three out of four players, NFL football players, came from homes without fathers. He said it's unreal. So, brother, thank you for being there for your kids. And not just for your kids, but we're, like you said, we have a higher calling. We are there for other kids too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's part of the volunteer that I do in the city. But it's also just a part of what our house is for other kids in the neighborhood. You know, more of my boys' friends spend time here than they do anywhere else. And it's just always, but that was the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. My father was around all the time. He was a pastor for 40 years. And so like he had some control over his schedule. He never missed a basketball game of mine or a track meet of mine, or, you know, he was there for us all the time. And his father was there for him. And his father was like, I can't go back in my either of my parents' direct ancestry and find a divorce or a failed marriage. Mm-hmm. That's wild. I can't, and you can trace our lines back to the 1500s. Like, it's, can't find one.
It's called the Lord's hand upon that family.
Amen. Blessing.
Well, I tell you about what, when we come back, we're going to get you to grab a Bible verse and share it with us. And it can be a, like we call them on the show, life verses. We had one last week. Or they're verses of seasons of life that God speaks to us as we walk, take that journey with him. Through his word, he speaks to us, and we're like, wow, that's a pretty cool verse. So when we come back, I'm going to be really excited to see the verse that Mr. Sam Wood brings to us. You ready?
All yes,
right,
sir.
All right, when we come back, we'll have Sam Wood, and we'll call it the verse of the week right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Joining the show this week, and not just joining the show, he is a part of the show now. Mr. Sam Wood from Detroit, Michigan. What a man of God. What a blessing. I told you, one thing you want to do with him is get hooked up with his daily devotion. We talked about it earlier, but it is a, man, it's a good dive, and it comes at the perfect time, first thing in the morning. So it gets you going, gets you started just right. And talking about getting started just right, Sam, we have a lot of things in our life. We're blessed with family. We're blessed with music. We try to do everything in the honor of the Lord. But there's something we have to do when we peel all that back, and that's to stand on his word.
Amen.
So what verse do you have for us today?
So, Greg, this is my life verse. And the funny thing is, I have a Christmas ornament that my aunt made for me back in 1981, the year that I was born. And it has my life verse on it. And man, I always kind of knew it, but it took me over 40 years to really accept it, understand it, and implement it. And so the verse is 1 Samuel 3:10. And it says, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" That verse, one of the most interesting things about it to me is the first part. It says the Lord came and stood calling as at other times. Now, the previous verses ahead kind of talk about how the Lord has called this, and Sam runs to go get Eli and tells he thinks he's calling him. But when I read that, and sometimes the way that it hits me is the amount of times the Lord has called me throughout my life, and I have said, "No, I'm good. I got other things to do." Like, I remember being 8, 9 years old, and old ladies of the church prophesying over me and being like, "You're going to be a preacher someday." And I was like, "No, I'm not." I was like, "That's my dad's thing. That's my grandpa's thing. I ain't doing it." And I ran from it for a long time. But I always knew that the Lord was calling me. And so when I read that, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, the amount of other times in my life that he has called me, and I have either not been paying attention, purposely ignored him, ran the other way. Mm-hmm. So that's the first part. And then the second part, my name is Samuel. My parents named me after Samuel. All three kids have biblical names. And so then the second part is the actual calling is the Samuel. And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And that is the thing that I try to implement in my life every single day. Speak, for your servant hears. I want to hear the Lord's voice. Mm-hmm. Big decisions, small decisions, no decisions, just comfort, just somebody to bang ideas off of. Writing songs, I bring them to him first. Give me the words. Give me the melody. Let me hear your voice. What is it that you want me to do with this? In fighting or arguing with my wife, Lord, what do you want us to do here? Speak to us. In dealing with my kids, whether it's, you know, they want to go out and train in sports or they need some discipline, Lord, be with us, guide us, show us the way, because we're listening. Mm-hmm. So that's my verse, my life verse.
And that's tough because it goes along with another verse in the Bible that makes both these verses really tough. Because of the world we live in, Skillet has a song called American Noise, which I absolutely love, because that's what's out there. There's a lot of noise out there. And it's hard to sometimes hear the voice of the Lord if you're not tuned in from all that noise. Yes. But the Lord also tells us in the Bible to be still and know that I am the Lord. So we got to find a way to, in the crazy schedules we have, in the pure pace of the world right now, in not just our lives, but the lives of the people that touch us every day, we've got to find that time where we say time out and really focus on the Lord, whether we're reading a devotion, whether we're opening up the Word of God and asking Him to speak to us through it, or like I do. I say, Lord, speak to me. You know, it's lunch, Lord. I'm eating my lunch right now. And I thanked you for the food, but will you speak to me? You know, I'm dealing with this stuff. You know, speak to me. What do I need to do? And
the thing about that is so many of the times we do that and then we keep talking to Him. Mm-hmm. And what you said, we need to find the time to listen, but we need to make the time mm-hmm. to listen. So when we say, Lord, speak to me, we stop. And radio is terrible for silence, but we need to have dead air in our life. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 30 seconds of dead air, even if it's 60 seconds of dead air, if we can build the habit and the discipline of taking, let's just say we have 20 minutes with the Lord in our routine every morning, 10 of that should be silence.
Mm-hmm. And this past weekend, I've said it again, another thing I've said on the show, my little grandson, he's like an attachment.
I love that.
But we go outside and we listen to the wind, and I make him understand that's the Lord moving. We listen to the birds. That's the angel singing. But we're on the trampoline, and we're exhausted because keeping up with a 3-year-old on a trampoline mm-hmm. is tough for me. And we ran circles and circles and circles. But we laid down, and we just looked up, and I told him, I said, I call him Stink. I said, Stink, that's God up there. You know, that's heaven. And it was just peaceful for, like you said, just for a minute mm-hmm. that we weren't playing. There wasn't noise. There weren't cars. There wasn't music playing. Because I have music playing all the time. But it was just a minute to where nothing else mattered. And we got to understand that we were in the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
So it's finding those times.
Yep. It's making those times.
Mm-hmm. Making them. See, you just need to run this show and let me just interview me.
I love that though. I enjoy these things, not, and this is my own personal struggle, because I know we're supposed to be talking about the music, or at least that's the premise of what we're doing. But frankly, like I said to you before, the music is just a vehicle. It's these conversations. It's getting to know you. I don't care about that stuff. I want to hear your testimony. I want to hear what the Lord's doing in your life. I want to share what's going on in mine. The music was just what brought us together, and it can come, go, or stay. I don't really, you know, it don't really make a difference to me, because I'm more concerned with knowing you as a brother in Christ and your heart and what he's doing and how I can encourage you and you can encourage me.
Amen. Well, that is, that's what I love about this show, because it is music, but then we get to have awesome guests like you, where, yeah, we get to the music, because I call that the icing kind of on this cake, but the cake's a lot bigger than the icing. And
that's right.
And you have to have the Lord in you. You have to be about him. And that's why I like scripture on the show, because that's really what it's all about.
100%.
It's the scriptures, breaking it down, taking all this away and sharing the word of God. And we have fun with the music, because that's just a gift. That's a gift that God has given us. Well, not me. Well, yeah, because like I said, in the shower, I'm awesome, man. In the car, by myself, I'm a one man rock band for the Lord in the car. But
just because you're not making it doesn't mean that he is not using you and music to do something. You are so integral, such a part of so many artists' lives, careers. Man, your encouragement, your willingness to get in there and help and be a part. Like, bro, that what you do is harder than making music, in my opinion. What you do is so important and so it's such an underserved community in the aspect that nobody is fighting for them. Nobody's fighting for independent artists. If they're not fighting for themselves, then nobody's doing that for them. And you are out there actively helping. Like, you are out there actively giving them a platform, promoting, saying, hey, this is a great song. Hey, check out this artist. That in and of itself, bro, is, you are such an integral part of music ministry, of being a part of so many artists' lives. So just because you aren't on stage at a concert playing the guitar and singing, you are still just as much of a part of it and a huge part. And I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And I love it, because there are over 30 kids in an orphanage in Uganda that listen to this show.
That's amazing.
And so that is what's cool.
Amen. Amen.
So, well, I tell you what, when we come back, Brother Sam, we're going to have to talk about music, okay? We're going to have to dig in a little bit on that side of your life, because, I mean, you only have 5 posts a day about music, so we've got to talk about that.
All right, let's do it then.
We'll be right back with Sam Wood right here on Rock the Flock Radio. It's Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for joining the show, whether you're listening on the airwaves of 89.7 WJHO on the FM radio, or you're streaming online at 897WJHO.org, or my favorite saying every week is, you go through all these podcasts and you found this thing called Rock the Flock on there and you can't get away from it. Again, I'm not going to apologize this week. I'm sorry. I'm glad you love it. This week we have Sam Wood with us, and this is one of my favorite segments. But for Sam, I have a feeling it's not, because he is such a godly man. He doesn't want to talk about music, but this is part of the show where he gets to talk, because he is just amazingly blessed. God is, Sam, you have a beautiful voice. You have a unique way of sharing God's word through your music. And I'm ready to talk about it.
Well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. It always makes me uncomfortable when people are effusive about the music, and especially about my voice, because I just don't think that I'm very good. And so I got into music actually when I was a lot younger. I was like 22 or so, and I got into music, into the industry, not as a performer, as a songwriter, as a guitar player, but in management. I got a good buddy of mine by the name of Ty Stone signed to Kid Rock's record label, and then we went on and signed with Atlantic Records. And so I spent 10 years touring. We did over 100 arena shows opening up for Kid Rock. We toured with Jamie Johnson and Brantley Gilbert and all sorts of country people. I lived in Nashville for a year, lived in LA for a year, was in and out of studios all the time. But again, I was on the management side. I was not on the performer or the songwriting side. But what I got to do was I got to see how they operated. Mm-hmm. And so I got to sit in writing rooms with all sorts of big hit country writers, and I got to just observe. And I paid a little bit of attention, probably not as much as I should have paid, but I did pay somewhat of attention. And so I spent these 10 years just learning and soaking it up and managing, and I managed a bunch of other bands as well. And then I got out of it. I wanted to get married, and so I did that, and I opened a couple restaurants, and at that point I fell heavily into drug addiction. And by the grace of God and the help of my wife and the support of my family, I was able to get clean and sober. And it was shortly after that I started really exploring and beginning to listen to the call that the Lord had put on my life towards ministry. And it is pastoral ministry, but there was this other calling as well that I felt, to pick up the guitar, because I could play a couple chords, but I couldn't sing and play at the same time. I had a terrible voice. This was back in 2020, roughly, so about 5 years ago. And I wanted my kids to be around music. And so I was like, I'm going to teach myself to sing and play at the same time. Even if I sound like a dying cat, I'm still going to do it. And so I started learning old country gospel songs, like Why Me by Kris Kristofferson, one of the first songs I learned. And Daddy Was an Old Time Preacher Man by Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner, and all sorts of these old, old country gospel songs and whatnot. And I believe back in 2021, the church was still like partially closed. So we didn't, because it was COVID, and we didn't have a choir singing again. So our music director was looking for people to do special music. So I'd get up there. The first time they had to talk me into it, I was not excited. I was like, I'm terrible at this. But they were like, no, we need it. You got to do it. So I got up there and I played Why Me by Kris Kristofferson. And it was very shortly after that I was listening to Bobby Bear's Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. And right after that, Buck Owens' Satan's Got to Get Along Without Me came on. And I was like, man, I feel like I could write that song. So I sat down, and the first song that I ever wrote was called The Devil Can't Catch Me If I'm Chasing Jesus. Mm. And it kind of just had that same kind of old-timey country vibe. And then they just started pouring out. And I had prayed. I had prayed for years prior to this. Lord, why did you give me this high-level music industry knowledge and understanding? What am I ever supposed to do with this? Because I didn't know how it would apply to anything else. And then all this, I wouldn't say all of a sudden, but just slowly over time, he just kept revealing these things to me, kept putting these songs on my heart. He kept telling me to tell my testimony, my story through these songs. And so I just kept doing it. And I was like, I don't know what you want me to do with it. But, and then it was like, all right, well, there's a couple players in the church, put a little band together. All right, we did that. And then it was like, well, there's an opportunity to record for almost nothing. All right. So we did that. Well, there's another opportunity to record for almost nothing. So we did that. I didn't promote any of it. I just kind of threw it out there. And then in August of 2023, so 2 years ago, he was like, now is the time to begin to use what I have given you to push this music forward. And I'd never been on social media before, not on anything. I'd never had a MySpace. I'd never had a Facebook. I stayed away from that stuff because I was not living a godly life back then. I did not want to be found out about what I was doing. And so I didn't want to leave a trail. So I'd never been on social media. And September of 23, I started to learn about it, to figure it out, to push. And then I started pushing the songs and I started reaching out to other artists. And so I found all sorts of other artists and I started building community, because one of the very first things that I noticed in the Christian music industry around me was there was no community, and community is the foundation of all music. Like, the whole point of music is communicating emotions to other people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it does. And so you need a community. So I started building community. I knew how to promote shows. I knew how to produce shows. We used to do writers rounds all the time up here. And so I started doing Christian writers rounds, hosting them, putting them together, getting all these people together, reaching out to people on Instagram and TikTok, getting to know them, co-writing with them. And I just started building community and getting to know people. And anyways, so it just has been building and building and building. And in that time, I write songs about my own testimony. And so one of the songs that's my favorite is a song called Happy Hour, and it's about overcoming addiction. And the gist of the song is happy hour is over, but happy life has begun, because I quit chasing the bottle and following the sun. And so anyways, you've got the song and you can do with it what you like, but that's one of my favorite songs. And it's got this, again, old timey country kind of vibe to it, with a little bit of like the Northern Motor Oil kind of feel also, you know, a little Bob Seger-ish type, not too much, but some of the other music has that kind of Americana feel. And so but it's a song about overcoming addiction, and it's one of my favorites.
Well, before we jump into it, I ask this question every week because I love all the different answers, because I totally about fell out of my seat last week when I asked Taylor Grace, okay, when God speaks to you, Sam, and he gives you words for a song, whether it's a chorus or whether it's sometimes I've learned it could be the music first, and then all of a sudden here come the words that go with this vehicle. But Taylor told me that all of her songs she writes in church, and she gets up and goes into the bathroom and jots it down and then goes back. And I said, well, I certainly hope your pastor isn't listening, because but where do you – you know, I've heard artists say, okay, a lot of them use phones. You record it, you get a thought. Okay, oh, this is what I need to do. But like you said, we're busy. We have jobs, we have wives, we have kids, we have things to do. So I'm just gonna. Do you write it down? Do you put it in your phone? Do you get on a computer and put it in? You know, type it in and save it. How do you, when God speaks to you, where do you save it?
So primarily on my phone. Mm-hmm. That is the easiest. I have jotted some things down, but I had spent a few sleepless nights where I am dead tired and I am trying to go to sleep, and the Lord just keeps poking me with one line after another. I wrote one of my favorite songs that I'm planning on recording this winter. It's an Easter song called Sunrise, but it's S-O-N. Rise. Mm-hmm. And So I'm gonna record that. And that was over the course of a night. Like, I couldn't sleep. I wanted to sleep. I was tired, and he just kept nudging me. And so I'd like pick up the phone real quiet because my wife was asleep, and like whisper a melody into it and the line, and it like the whole thing came out in that night. But I will tell you one thing that I am very, very specific about, and that I learned through the process of living in Nashville and seeing all these people in writing rooms and whatnot, is very, very, very rarely do I start a song and not finish it. Okay. And so I am militant about the fact if I start it, I am going to finish it. I'm like a dog with a bone. And if it takes a week, that's totally fine. Sometimes they fall out in 5 or 10 or 20 minutes. That's cool. But if I start something, I continue to pray about it. Lord, give me the next line. What do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to do with this? And eventually he always leads me in the direction of it, but I don't leave things half done. And that, I think, is a lot of artists struggle with that. They can get it started, they can get halfway there, but the amount of artists that I talk to who say things like, you know, I haven't been able to finish this, or I got all these, you know, half done works or whatever, and I'm just like, you have to be, not every song's a hit, very few of them are a hit, but every song should be finished.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. I hope that will help an artist that's listening right now. So
me too.
Words of advice from the professional, Mr. Sam Wood. Well, Sam, thank you. You sent a song. We talked about it a minute ago, Happy Hour. Would you do the honor of introing that song? Because I would be more than blessed to be able to put that in the rotation so people could hear it. And there may be somebody out there that needs to trade that bottle in for eternal salvation. If that's what's keeping them from eternal salvation, maybe they need to put it down.
All right, you got it. All right, you're listening to Rock the Flock. This is the Normandies with Happy Hour, a song about overcoming addiction.
It's Rock the Flock Radio. Again, thank you for being a part of the show. Like I said, you can connect with me over Instagram. It's just Greg_RTF. That's GRGG_RTF, like Rock the Flock. I'd like to hear your comments on the show, but most importantly, if you have a prayer request or if you just like to talk, I'd like to get connected with you. But bigger than that, a person you really need to get connected to is the special man of God that is on this show this week, and that's Sam Wood. But Sam, before we get to that, I know we prayed before we started the show, but I'd like to ask you to pray at the end of the show.
You got it.
So before we get into how people can connect with you and all that good stuff, would you like to, not to pray us out, but just to pray us, because we need it.
You got it. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you are so good all the time. And the way that you connected Greg and I, and the fellowship that you have allowed us to have in this interview talking, but even prior to this, Lord, it's so fascinating to see the ways that you work, and I just thank you for that. I thank you for Greg and the mission that you have laid on his heart, the calling on his life. And Lord, I thank you for his determination and his discipline to execute that mission that you have given to him, Lord. He is a light on a hill for so many young artists. He is a beacon pointing to you, Lord. He allows himself to be used as a conduit, and I just thank you, and I ask that you bless him, his ministry, his family, and all of the artists that he helps. Lord, I ask that you be with those who are listening to this show today. Lord, in whatever way it is that they need to draw closer to you, Lord, pull them in. Speak to them. Give them that quiet heart to listen to you, to seek your will and your word and what you would have that you would have them do. Lord, I just ask that you be with them. Again, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your fellowship, your body of believers, and the way that they support one another. And I just ask that your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Heavenly Father, I want to come to you, Lord, on behalf of this brother. Lord, I ask you to continue to bless Sam. Lord, to bless his studies. Lord, to bless his music, to continue to bless his marriage, and to continue to bless his children, Lord, to bless he and his wife, to raise them in your ways. God, wrap your arms around them, a hedge of protection around them, Heavenly Father, that you will send angels to light the path, Lord, and you will direct Sam and his family in whatever it is you have for him, Lord, that you will direct him to the correct doors. Lord, bless every step of Sam's life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
There you go, brother. You put that old Detroit Tiger cap back on.
Yeah, we won today.
You did win today. Good,
yes,
good
sir.
Game. Game one.
Yep.
Well, my team.
2-1.
My team didn't make it to the playoffs, which we're all shocked. The Atlanta Braves. We're huge Braves fans. We love the Braves, but. My wife knew when we first got married when Francisco Cabrera singled in Sid Breen. And, you know, Sid Breen could run about 3 miles an hour. And somehow Sid Breen got around third base and slid in. And my wife was pregnant, asleep. And I woke her up. And she knew from that day on it was trouble.
I love that.
It was trouble.
I love that.
Well, Brother Sam, how can people connect with you?
Well, it is kind of funny because you won't find me under Sam Wood anywhere. That is my government name, and that's what I go by. But everything is under the Normandies.
Yes, sir.
And so on Instagram, we are the Normandies Band. On TikTok, it's just the Normandies. On YouTube, it is the Normandies. And so if you reach out to me on any of the platforms and comments or DMs or whatever, I run all the socials. And so I will get back to you. But yeah, it's the Normandies. We're on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, all of that. And it's like Norman Dies. So yeah, that's how you can find us, the Normandies.
How did that name come about?
Well, the funny thing is that as I was thinking about names, once I got the band together and we'd started recording a little bit, I was like, we need a band name. And so I had a couple options, but I was listening at that time to a lot of, I think it's Channel 65 Enlighten Radio. It's the Gaither channel. Mm-hmm. On Sirius XM, and a lot, and I am not well versed in Christian music in general and hymns growing up, but nothing contemporary. And one of the things that I noticed in listening to the Enlightened Channel was a lot of these groups had family names. They used their surnames as the, like the Crabs or the Gaithers or like, you know, and so I was like, oh, I'm looking for a name that might sound like kind of a Southern gospel name of a family. And so the street that the church is on that we all go to, the bass player, Kathy, the drummer, Andrew, myself, the one that my father's been the pastor of for 4 years now, is on Normandy Road.
Oh, that's too cool.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, the Normandies would be, it would basically like check all the boxes of it could sound like a family name. It's a throwback to the street that the church is on. It's just kind of strange enough to be like, what is that? But not strange enough to be like, well, that's bizarre, you know? And so it just kind of checked all the boxes. And I was like, that's what we're going to go with.
That's a good story right there. I love it.
Well, thank you.
Well, Sam, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being a blessing to me. I know you've blessed the audience. An honor to meet you. I look forward every morning, like I said, my phone going off and you're sending the devotion for the day.
I do just want to point out, because you have mentioned that, I do not write those. And so I don't want anybody thinking like that. I find different series every week and I send it to over 100 people now. But I am simply just a servant. I'm just a conduit. They just flow through me. Other people write them and I simply serve them up on a platter to people. That's it. So I don't want to take no credit for writing nothing. All I do is hit some buttons on the phone.
You are a great conduit. So maybe some people will connect with you over the Normandy's Instagram page and are going to ask you, how do I get that? So I'm looking forward.
Done and done.
I'm looking forward to that.
I would love to send that out to more people.
Well, Sam, it's late in Michigan. It's late in Alabama. Get some rest. I'm really looking forward now to, we've met over Zoom now, we've talked on the phone, so we've used technology to the point we can't take technology anymore, that the next time I get to meet you is in person, and I would be honored, blessed, super pumped up to shake your hand, brother.
Amen. I give you a hug. I'd love to hug you. I just wrote a song about Jesus called Hug. But anyways.
Well, you've blessed us all. And we could go on, Sam, we could talk all night long. But go check the Normandy's out on Instagram. I will post all that so people can click it and go right to you. Check their music out. I know Sam's not about all that, but it is part of it. It's part of the ministry that God's put on him. And just pray for Sam that God will just continue to walk him through this pastoral calling.
Thank you.
Because that is special.
Amen. Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate it.
Well, all right. That is Sam Wood on Rock the Flock Radio.
Thanks for listening to Rock the Flock. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on 89.7 WJHO. 897WJHO.org, 89.7 WJHO on the Radio Alabama app, or on Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.